When we arrived, the rectory stank of pickled herring. The domine, his chin receding behind his tall collar, exhaled it on his breath. My mother described my melancholia with expressive gestures of the face and hands. I sat on my own fingers, lest they fly out to cover my nose. The domine worried his thatchy beard. "Well, mein Schmetterling," he began, leaning toward me. I sat tighter on my hands. It was his habit to pepper his conversation with snippets of German, and my misfortune to be driven batty by his every turn of phrase. He was Brooklyn's only minister, so even the child of atheists could not escape him, but I wished he could be more like my pappy, the Reverend Elihu Juster Winship, whom I'd met the previous autumn. My father, set at long last on making amends with him, had taken me north to Massachusetts, through fields and tracts of woodland that smelt sharp and delicious of fallen leaves. To my father's surprise, I'd loved the old man instantly, preaching and all. My grandfather's sermons were so stingy of human affection that they shriveled his lips to a pucker, as if he had an unripe persimmon always on his tongue. But they were full enough of doom and hellfire to make a child stand up straight, and I liked the thrill they sent through me. My father, meanwhile, was full of tales about the man, how he'd raised his children with nary a toy but a worn-out boot, to which my father referred with alternating affection and disgust, calling it booty, the result of which, I deduced, was that he grew into a man who could not refuse a measure of port, and who, though engaged in a grubby business, was known for his attention to the cut of his clothes. But I should return to Domine Sirtis, who'd been speaking all this while, and whose fat servant, Janity, had deposited a plate of warm aniseed cookies in front of me, though she surely knew I had not been brought in for good behavior. "Und so, mein Schmetterling," Sirtis was saying. To mask the smell of his breath, I ate the cookies quickly, barely swallowing one before inserting the next. "I do not blame your mamma for fearing all that care upon your brow, but I dare say," he tittered, "if a child be born with morbid preoccupations, so much the less work for the church later on." My mother raised her eyebrows. "You think it's well she's so glum?" I choked on an oversized mouthful, and instead of patting my back, she slapped my wrist when I reached for another cookie. "Prudence is a good, God-fearing child," he said. He smiled, showing me his yellow teeth. I tried to smile back as I worked the dry meal in my mouth. Janity, more empathetic than my mother, gave me a mug of cool cider. "If you seek a course of action," he said, "I suggest instruction in needlework. Busy hands will keep her from despond." My mother thanked him, thanked Janity, and drew me so quickly from the rectory that a hail of crumbs sprang from my lap to the floor.